Thank God. Well, last week we talked about the importance of the Word of God. And we're going to spend some more time on that this morning. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. It says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." You welcomed, when you heard the word of God from us, the Apostle Paul is saying, you welcomed it not as the word of man, word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. In the NIV, it says, "We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." In the Amplified, it says, "We also thank God continually for this, that when you receive the word of God concerning salvation," this applies across the board, that's just a comment. It says the word of God. Now, these people were believing, so that's true, but it's not limited to the word of God on salvation. This, when you receive the word, they were receiving the word of God on salvation, but it applies whenever we hear the word of God in any area, this, what we're reading here, applies. It says, "You, when you heard, received the word of God from us, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its inerrant supernatural power in those of faith." So when we hear the word of God, if we receive it as the word of God, then the word of God is able to do what only the word of God can do in our lives. If we don't receive the word of God, if it's the word of God, no matter who it's coming through, whatever avenue, if we act like it's not the word of God, then to us, it's not going to have the power that the word of God has. Even though the word of God is powerful, it's only going to be powerful in our lives to the degree that we recognize it and receive it as the word of God in our lives. If we don't treat it like the word of God and receive it as such, then it is powerless in our lives, even though in the person next to us, it can change their lives forever. Yes. Somebody, two people can be sitting hearing a message and one person's life is changed forever. The other person goes on with their life as if nothing happened. And it's not that the word of God was different. It's that how we receive is different. It's what we do with it. We've been talking about that on Wednesdays. It's the ground of our heart. The Word of God is effective. It's powerful. It'll change our life. It doesn't matter the avenue it comes through. We just need to recognize it as the Word, receive it, and now that's the gateway through which it can start to do what only it can do. Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall," according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." The word of God, it divides soul and spirit. It is living. It's powerful. It will change circumstance. It shows up the truth. It is the truth. And when it works, the light of the Word of God will show truth in any circumstance. And the NIV verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, when the Word of God comes, you know, we as humans can be thinking, well, I'm doing this because of some reason. I'm right in this. I am behaving this because this is what I heard and this is what I've accepted. And then the Word of God can come and it shows, it judges what is true. It says judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It makes light. It makes obvious. It shows up what is crooked. It's like a straight edge that you put up against our heart, against our lives, that it shows where we're off, where we're believing something that's not right, because it's the truth. And so the Word of God being put up against our life, it'll show up that, well, I'm thinking a certain way, and I thought that was right, but actually the Word of God says this, so now I have a decision to make. Do I accept that as the Word of God, as truth, or do I just hang on to what I believed? But the Word of God will do that. It'll show, wait, I thought I was right here. I thought this was true. I thought I was, you know, walking with good intent here, and I might have been walking with good intent, but I realize the truth is different than what I had accepted. And then we have a decision to make. I can receive that Word of God as, wait, that's God's Word. If it's God's Word and I'm believing something else, I've got a decision to make whether I'm going to believe God or hold on. If I accept it as the Word of God, now the decision's actually pretty easy. If I've said God says this, but I've thought this, well, if I have any sense, and I really believed it was, if I'm accepting it as the Word of God or my thoughts, if He's God and He knows everything and He's righteous, then what is the who should I accept? His truth or my truth? Because my truth is not a truth. See, people will say that, well, it's my truth. There's no such thing. There's truth, and then there's not truth. It's not, this thing is true, ultimately true, and well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. We're talking about actual truth. Circumstances can be different. You can have a different opinion, but if something is actually just, it's truth, it's true across the board, period. Nobody can argue with it. It's true. You can't say, well, that's not true in my circumstance. Then it wasn't true to begin with. It wasn't actually true. Truth will be across the board. Facts change. Yeah. Like the temperature right now fluctuates throughout the day. Right now it's one thing. It'll change. You know, to say, well, it's just, no, it's not 87. Well, we can prove that. Look, here's the temperature, here's the thermometer, it is. But then you watch it and it changes. But truth, that doesn't change. So we got to differentiate that. But what we accept as truth is going to determine how we live. We're going to skip down. Let's go to Acts 17, verse 10. Just be ready to move around. Acts 17, verse 10 says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica." And it's interesting because the first scripture we are reading, that they welcomed the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it is in the Word of truth. Paul was, he was writing to the Thessalonians. Here, this is just a side note, but here in verse 11, it says they're in Berea, and it says these, the Bereans, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, which is, Paul said, you received it as the Word of God. But So I don't know. Evidently, they're further, they're more fair-minded, even than what we just read. They received the Word of God as, or the Word of God through Paul as the Word of God. But here, verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. In the NIV, it says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was, help me out,
true.
Look at the NLT. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those of Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So how, let's go back to the NIV. I'm going to read the last part of that. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. How are the Bereans here determining if what's coming out of Paul's mouth was actually true? Put it up again. Put up the NIV again. It says they received the message with great eagerness. In other words, they're listening to Paul going, we're listening, we're dialed in. In other words, we're not like, they're listening. But notice what it says. They received the message with great eagerness and they examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So how were they determined if what Paul was saying was true? They're looking at the Scriptures, which in their case, they didn't have the New Testament. This is the New Testament. This is what was going on. The letters being written, Acts was an account of the early church. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament, but they're looking at the Old Testament, comparing what Paul is saying and saying, they're not just going, ooh, Paul said it, so it must be true. Yeah. They heard what Paul said, and they did it eagerly, but then they did something else. They looked at what they had of the Bible, and they lined it up and said, is what he's saying true? Mm-hmm. The way they're determining if it's true is putting it up against the Bible. Here's what Paul's saying. Here's what the Word of God says. You know, does it mesh up? Yeah, it is the Word of God. What he's saying is right. It's the straight edge. The Scriptures are the straight edge where you determine if what somebody is saying, whether it's me or anybody else, is right. In other words, just because he was the Apostle Paul, just because they might have heard things about him, maybe, and heard signs and wonders or anything, or because of his reputation, you don't take what somebody says as true unless it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. We don't take it as the Bible unless it is lines up with the Bible. Just because some people will listen to certain messages very eagerly, with great eagerness, they examine, so they receive the message with great eagerness, but they don't do the latter part. So they receive it and basically get to the point where anything that comes out of certain people's mouth or anybody that anybody says, I mean, people are in the situation where they just listen to anybody. Like, okay, they have Christian, you know, in their profile or something says it's about the Bible and just take it, what everybody says. As if it's all true. It's not all true. How do you know if what somebody says is true? You're going to look it up against the Bible. Is the Bible, does the scripture, God's word, actually say and line up? Can you substantiate? Can you back it up with the word of God? Otherwise, we ought not say it. That goes for me, goes for you. It's not your reputation. It's not even how well you live. That doesn't mean anything. Everything that comes out of your mouth all of a sudden becomes lined up with truth. You realize somebody could have a reputation, could be living a very good life, lined up with the word of God, could be walking in the power of God, could generally teach or share according to the word of God, but say something that's not the Bible. You don't ever get to the place where it's like, well, you have been proven, so I'm turning off this last part. I don't search the Bible anymore. I follow you. That's dangerous. You know what I just did? I took God out of the equation. I basically said, this source, whatever it is, speaks for God. And so I don't go and verify it anymore. And if something, I hear something, it's like, you know, if you know the word of God, you hear something somebody says, you'll know it on the inside. Yeah. That it's wrong. Because we have, getting ahead of myself, but I'll insert it. We have the Spirit of truth on the inside of us as Christians. We have the Spirit of truth. We'll get there in a minute. Still have that up. They receive the message with great eagerness and examine the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. So these are Christians, but they're learning and they're hearing the word of God. They're hearing Paul teach, but then they're going to the Bible going, all right, is what you're saying right? Is what you're saying true? Well, like we were saying, you don't want to get to the place where you turn off that part, because then if we don't examine the Bible, the scriptures, to substantiate what we're hearing, number one, you won't know if it's true. Number two, even if it is true, if you don't know it's the Word of God, you won't be able to stand on it. Because what you're really saying is so-and-so said it. Well, did God say it? Well, I'm not sure. But so-and-so said, well, that's not the same as God saying it. So you can't have faith. You can have faith to a degree, but when push comes to shove, it will break you. Life will break you if you don't know it's God's word, because now you're going on the word of a man. Even if it is the word of God, you don't know it. I don't know it because I didn't look to see where it is in the Bible. I said, this person says it. That's no different than what the world does when they follow people. Because even though it's truth, it will work to a degree if it's truth and we start putting it into our life. You'll get some results, but you're not esteeming it as the Word of God because you don't know it's the Word of God because you haven't checked if it's the Word of God. So you'll only get certain part of results. That's the same thing, really. I mean, somebody could preach, or we wouldn't say it in that sense. They could give a talk on some truth in the world. And if it's based on godly principles, even if they're not a Christian, even if they don't even know, but it's working, because it's the reason it's working is because it's actually based on God's word. People in the world do that. There's principles that are taught not in a Christian format, they're taught at seminars, and they actually work because they're based on the word of God, but those people don't know it's the word of God. But it's true. It's truth. And so it'll work. But you know, that only goes so far. you can only, somebody, they'll get some results, but they got a mix of a bunch of stuff that's not the Word of God. So they don't balance it. So now that becomes, they're really following a principle, they're following a philosophy, they're following a man. And when life then comes against it or something contradicts that, what is contradicted in their mind is, this person said it, but I got somebody else saying it, and this sounds better than this. So even though this was actually based on the Word of God, even though it wasn't portrayed that way, and this other thing is not, what it is in their mind is, this guy said this and this guy said this. And that's confusing. So what we need to do is go, when we hear something, we go down to the bedrock of God's Word and say, well, yeah, that's true. And really, we want to be hearing things that are based on the Word of God. Even if somebody has some truth that's based on the Word of God, if they don't know it, we as Christians, we cannot be living there. We need to hear it, and we want to hear from sources that are basing what they say on the Word of God and not contradicting the Word of God. And then knowing that it's the Word of God, because now you can say, I believe the Word. Now somebody else says something that contradicts this. It doesn't, it's not about who said the Word. We've got it down to the bedrock of the Word. So now somebody else says something. It's, where is your Bible? Where is your scripture for that? And if you don't have scripture, then I'm going to throw that away. Because I know, regardless of where I heard it, the Bible says this. And that's the truth. So I don't get pushed off then. I can discern truth. Because I've got the Word of God showing up intense. I got the Word of God showing up nuance. This sounds good, but it won't work in the corner cases. That's kind of like, I'm not going to get into this, but you know, the laws of physics as we know them right now, back, if you go back 100-something years ago, people thought they basically had the natural world figured out. Just classical physics, Newtonian physics. You could describe how a ball falls, you know, if you drop it and throw a ball and, you know, how it goes through the air and the trajectory and all these natural laws and observable universe, people thought they kind of had it figured out, except there was a few areas where it didn't make sense. There was things that were going on that they're like, we haven't figured that out, but we'll figure it out, and then we'll have it all figured out. And this model described, it was pretty accurate, described how things work. And it was like, but we don't know about these areas. But we'll get them figured out. The issue is, the reason why all the description wasn't working in these areas, the physicists, Einstein, different people, started to realize and that the answers in what was wrong with this model describing here actually blew apart the whole thing to where that other model was just an approximation for what was really going on. Theory of relativity, all that stuff. This stuff, the other stuff works in certain circumstances. It works at a high level, but there is nuance in there that's you cannot see, but that's actually going on underneath that where we understand it. We don't understand everything, understand a lot more of what's going on. And that was, I'm not saying this is an analogy. That's not truth, but this was actually more what's going on. This other was an approximation. Well, that's kind of like you can have something sort of working and it looks like, yeah, you do this and that and it works kind of in life, except you hit these other cases in life where it doesn't work. It falls apart. You think that's the what I live by, but it's not the Word of God. And it starts to blow up in certain areas. The Word of God will never do that. I mean, we realize in the physics example, God created it. He knows exactly how it, he's not trying to figure out how it works. He knows every part of it because he designed it. He's not trying to figure it out. So even after all the dust settles, what everybody thinks is true, not true, oh, well, we figured this out and that contradicts the word of God. You will never find that happening. You could find it where people interpreted something a certain way. Somebody thought something the word of God said a certain way, but like the four corners of the earth. People are like, well, see, the world's flat. This doesn't mean, that's not literally the four corners of the earth. That means everywhere in every direction. People are like, see, the Bible's wrong. No, that's not what, that was not a map, you know, directions for building a map. It's like everywhere the eye can see, everywhere in the, no. The word of God will bear up, the true word of God will bear up under every circumstance. And so we don't want to be listening to what somebody said and go and now comparing what people say. And especially, you don't want to be like, well, that person says this about the word of God. And this person says this. And I like that person better. So I'm going to believe what he said. Who cares who they are? Does the Bible actually say it? I'd rather be following what the word of God said rather than what somebody said about it because of who they are. Because again, I'm following a person at that point. I'm not following God. So these, the Bereans, they searched the scriptures so that they could determine if what Paul was saying was true. That should be our attitude all the time with everything. Where's the word of God? Now, there's certain things, obviously, there's certain trades, there's certain things you work technically. It's not in the Bible, but it won't contradict the Bible, okay? You know, obviously there's not every method of workmanship and skill and everything is laid out in the Bible. No, it's not, but there, the truth of God's word will never be contradicted by the word of God or The truth of God's word will never be contradicted by things. If they're godly, the true word of God is never going to be made void. Nobody's ever going to be like, well, and that's why you have to be careful. Don't prove the word of God by what somebody else says. Prove what somebody else says by the word of God. Don't start saying, well, the Bible, I don't know. I mean, this person's, this looks like, stay on the word of God's side. And judge it the other way around. And hold on. Maybe you just say, well, I don't understand everything, but this is what I see, because the word of God has proven to be true in every circumstance. Let's look at Ephesians 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So it's talking about Jesus, adoption as sons by Jesus Christ of himself. So then if you skip down to verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted, after you heard, talking about the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, but in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So it went through in those intermediate verses just talking about in him, in Christ we are, in him we are. So this in verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So after you heard, after they heard the word of truth, then, which is the gospel of our salvation or the word of God, then they were able to believe God and receive what he said. But notice it's called here the word of truth. The word of God is the word of truth. It's true. How do you know what's true? Does it line up with the word of truth? That's the straight edge where we're going to compare it and know what is true. Because then what is true is what we're going to take as the foundation to build our lives with. If we take something that's not true and put it into our life, it's not going to reap the same benefits. It's going to be off somewhere. So we don't want an approximation that's going to break down. We want the truth that will hold up. That is the only foundation. The word of truth. That's how we're going to believe. We read this last time. Look at, put up Romans 10, verse 14. Now just skip down to verse 17. We'll just read that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith, believing, it comes by hearing the word of God. Faith in God doesn't come by any way other than hearing the word of God. So in other words, if somebody says something, even in the name of Jesus, even in the name of Christianity, that's not the word of God, you can't have real faith for it, which means you're not going to be able to push through the toughest places in life because your belief, you can't have God faith, you could have man faith. Like, I believe that dude. I believe what he says. But that's not going to hold up in a situation because he's not God. So at some point, I've got to know the word of truth. I've got to have faith in the word of God. The only thing that can give me faith to actually believe to the hilt, to the max, to when your back's up against the wall, is the word of God. That's the only way it comes, is through the word of God. And that's the only way that I can live life truly, is when it's based on the word of God. That's got to be the undergirding, the foundation. So I've got to sift things that I hear, and I got to know where my faith actually lies, because those are the things that's going to actually make me free, that are going to actually be effective in my life. And go back to John 8:31. I know I'm moving you around here. John 8:31 then says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. Why? Because you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because you abide in my word, then you're going to know the truth. And the truth is what's going to make you free. Not just somebody's opinion. Not just somebody's idea. Not just somebody's philosophy. The truth is what's going to set me free, is going to make me free, is going to be what I can take. I'm going to say to the bank, but that's not a good thing. You can take and build your life with only the word of God. And so if we'll get down to that place, see, now faith can be there. And I'm not saying so-and-so said it. I might say so-and-so said it, so I saw what was in the word, so then I could believe the word. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it stops at so-and-so said it, and I really like them, and they're cool, that's a really shaky foundation. And you know, you set yourself up to get disappointed. You set yourself up to get disillusioned. You set yourself up to hit a rough place in life and realize you were following a person that didn't have the answer, but portrayed themselves as having the answer. That's a lot of responsibility. I don't want that. That's why we go back to the Bible. If you hear something that I spoke, go and say, the Bible said it. You can say, you heard, thank God you helped me to understand what was there. I don't want to direct your life. I'm not that smart. No man is that smart. But you know what? People act like other people are that smart all the time. No man is God. Jesus came as a man and God. And he is the truth, the Word made flesh.
Amen.
And he's the only true foundation. Everything else is shifting sand.
Amen.
That's a good way of looking, because you know, you thought it was good and it moved.
Yes.
And it just happens continually. The Word of God will not change. It endures forever. We read that last week. It endures forever. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Peter. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow. Everybody say, grow. That we may grow, you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It says that you may desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow. The Word of God will cause you and I to grow. Here it's talking about people that they're new baby Christians just coming in. You know, spiritual growth is like natural growth. You start, you know, become born again, you're a baby spiritually. Doesn't mean physically, spiritually. Doesn't mean mentally, spiritually. That means you got to grow. You know how you grow? How do you grow? He says it right here. How does a newborn baby grow? What do you need to give them to grow? In the ideal sense, I know there's a lot of different things people do, but the newborn babe, they're meant to drink their mother's milk. That's how they grow. It has everything they need to grow, to start growing. And Peter's saying, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow. Desire the pure milk of the Word. Notice, pure milk of the Word. You don't need anything else. That's not saying Christian life, you don't need anything. There's things that are going to help you to grow, but here, as a baby, it says, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That you may grow. The Word of God is what's going to cause you to grow. Somebody's opinion is not going to help you grow. Mm-hmm. And it can get you off, actually.
Yeah.
And the Word of God is inexhaustible. It's not just when you're a baby.
Right.
Not just when you're new. The Word of God is unsearchable. The Word of God, you can read the same verse 1,000 times and still get truth out of it. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's eternal. But you know, you can read a man's book. I read that. You can read again, it's like, I read this. There's no life in it. Like, you're done. I mean, I can tell you everything in it. It's different. Now, you can read a book that's pointing to the Word of God, and you can get life out of that, but don't make the mistake of just reading what the guy's saying and not like making the connection between, or the woman, what the person is saying and what the Bible's saying. Because if you do that, you're following a person. Like, don't go, okay, I know this person can teach, I got their books. Now, I know there's the Bible, but I kind of want to see what they're saying about the Bible, because I know everything they say is right. and you just start reading that and kind of turn off that part about the whole thing. The reason they're writing the book should be because they're trying to help you see what's in the Bible. And if it becomes what they're saying independent of the Bible because of now something else, that's akin to just somebody writing a philosophy book. It's just that they'll quote a few scriptures, and that's a lot out there. People will use scripture, quote a verse, and then go on with their philosophy and try to, it's a loose connection, trying to stand on the integrity of the Bible, trying to borrow the integrity of the Bible to convey their philosophy. But it's not actually what the Bible's saying. It's just like, well, it's quoting scripture. And if we're not discerning, they'll take it and be like, well, that's the Bible. It's not the Bible. You can, anybody, if you look honestly, like the Bereans, look at, wait, this is not the Bible. I don't care that you're quoting scripture. That's not what the Bible says. It's obvious. Don't override that. Don't override that. If you see that, don't go, ah, but it's so-and-so. Ah, but I like the book. Ah. My friends all doing it. Ah, I like that podcast. He just quoted scripture. Yeah, but everything he said after that is not lined up with scripture. Yeah, but it's so-and-so. I mean, all these people can't be wrong. Are you kidding me? People are wrong all the time. Doesn't matter how many people, it's the Word of God. And so we got to have that in our life where we're going, is it the Word? Does the Bible say it? Now I can build solidly on that. That'll take me through anything. Let's look at Matthew 4, verse 1. See an example of this with Jesus himself. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You just read that verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I mean, this is a side note, but Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Selah, that means think on that. That doesn't mean devil, the devil and the Holy Spirit working together. It just means that God led Jesus at this place. And the devil was there. But we're going to see Jesus had everything he needed to defeat the devil. Again, this is not a tag team partnership. They are not like, God is not leading devil or God in Jesus into a place where he's working with the devil. No, it's just he led him up there. Evidently, this is part of his path as the Son of God. And he was being tempted. He was being pushed. And it was a real temptation because if it wasn't, the Bible wouldn't say it. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, only without sin. In Hebrews, right? So he was tempted. It was a real temptation. This isn't a fake temptation. This is like there was no danger. No, this is real. Verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Well, I guess. That's supernatural. You can't do that normally. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Remember, he's being tempted. You got to be careful what you hear, what people say to you. Don't always, I would say never, unless there's a reason, unless you feel led to and are confident, don't accept the premise of what somebody's telling you or trying to get you to do. Don't accept the premise of their question. Like they're asking you something, but their premise is wrong. You don't have to answer that. Trying to get some information out of you, that you're accepting the premise that you need to answer that question. Somebody comes up to you and asks you for your birthday, you don't need to know my birthday. Hey, show me your driver's license. You know, you be careful who you show your driver's license to. Not everybody needs it. Well, we need your social security number. No, you don't. Some people do. The social security number just become like a, everybody's using it for their internal ID, like it's the government. But then over time, it became where organizations, schools and stuff just use that as your ID. Like they're lazy. They don't have their own thing, but now everybody's got social security number. No, somebody asks you something personal, you don't have to answer. That's acting like you need to answer it. Well, the devil's coming to Jesus and says, notice, if you're the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Well, is he the Son of God? Yeah. But the devil's saying, if you are, then do this. Well, I am, so I got to prove this to you. No. Well, if you can do that, somebody could say, well, if you know, if you're so that, do this. Well, if healing's for now, then just lay your hands on me and make me healed. No. You don't have any faith. You don't believe God. That's not how it works. Is healing for yet now? Yeah. But the last part of your sentence is flat wrong, and you don't know that because you don't know the word, and you're trying to get something to happen that's not going to happen because you're not lining up with the word of truth. I'm not subject to your ignorance of the truth. I'm not proving anything to anybody. You speak the word of God. Jesus. Is he the Son of God or is he not the Son of God? What comes after, just because he is, does not mean he's subject to somebody demanding something of him. See, he knows more truth. And that is what got him out of this. So verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Verse 4, but he answered, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what you said. Yes, I'm hungry. And I am, he knows who he is. But no, I'm not subject to you. The word of God says you won't live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Satan tries to come at him, and Jesus parries it. How did he parry it? With the word. He didn't try to argue with something else. Well, I'm the word of God, but he just said what the word says. So this is how we are supposed to act. That's why we need to know what the Word of God says and why we believe what we believe, so that we can come back and resist not only Satan, somebody else. You're not called to be arguing with everybody. Somebody wants to have a conversation, fine, honest conversation. But the devil will challenge you, me, in areas and try to get you. And he knows what he's saying. He knows that what he's saying is not fully truthful, but he's trying to get Jesus to buy it, and he'll do that to you and me. He'll say something to you, because the devil knows the word of God. He just doesn't, but he tries to deceive people. He'll try to get you to do something, and if you don't know the word, you'll be like, well, I guess I have to do that. Well, I guess I should. That sounds good. Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you're the Son of God, again, is he the Son of God? Well, then throw yourself down. Why? The angels got you. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. He shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself out here. The angels will catch you. Notice, the devil is quoting Scripture. Do you think he still does that today? Quote Scripture to you? Well, if you're a Christian, you did it. And he gives half of it. And he quotes things out of context. If you don't know, you're like, well, that's true. And it is the Word of God, but it's not true in context. And it's not true across the Word of God. That's why when somebody's saying, this is what the Bible said, and if you just look like, well, look at my Bible. Yeah, that's what it says. That doesn't imply that everything else they said is true. What does the rest of the Word of God say? I got to search and go, yeah, it says that, but it also says this. So he said, you know, throw yourself off. The angel will catch you. Jesus said to him, it is written again. In other words, it's written in another place. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. In other words, I'm not going to throw myself off. It'd be like somebody going, well, step out in front of that 18-wheeler. God will save you. No. Somebody said, we may have all somewhere to go. Your funeral. Not because God couldn't do it. It's like God can save you, but you're playing with it. I'm playing with it. We're acting like, it's fine. No. We don't play with the Word of God and play with the protection of God. I'm not supposed to go to that place. It's a hellhole, but I'm going to go anyway because God will protect me. That's stupid. You're putting yourself on Satan's territory. God's merciful and good, and part of his mercy is listen to what we know, so that we don't get in a bad place. Verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Now, Jesus is being tempted. Is this a real temptation or not? Satan just lying? No, he has authority. He is pushing and behind the scenes, manipulating nations. And he said, if you worship me, I'll give you all these things. I'll give you if you'll worship me. Is that a true temptation or not? The Bible said he was tempted. If he was lying, Jesus would know he's lying. He's not lying. You can see it. He's infecting all kinds of stuff. But Jesus came back. Verse 10, it says, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Again, he knew what the Word of God said, and he countered the temptation with the Word. And said, no, I'm not going to do that. You're asking me to do something that the Word of God prohibits. No, I'm not doing that under any circumstances. And he was able to resist. Why? Because he knew the truth. If somebody else is, if I'm basing on what somebody said and I don't know what the truth is, then I'm in a situation going, see, now that is an influence. That person may not be directly influenced by the devil, but it's off scripturally. And if I'm taking that and going, I'm in this situation, and this voice or this podcast or this something I read, a book or whatever, post or something, that comes to me and goes, do this. That's similar to Satan going, do this. And if it's not the Word of God, and I don't know the Word of God, I won't counter it. But if I know what the Word of God says, and if I would have known and searched and said, is this true? I would have already taken it out of my life to where I don't listen to that. But if I didn't, now it's pushing in my life, telling me what to do in a circumstance. And if I can't identify that that's wrong, I won't be able to resist the temptation. I may mess up my life because I'm listening to what somebody said that's half-baked. But if I would have searched, I would have rejected it and not gone down that path. But when that stuff comes, do this. So-and-so said it's fine. Yeah, but the word of God says over here it's not. No, thank you. You just saved yourself. So this is how Jesus pushed back on the devil. Verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. In Luke 4:13, it was doing the same account, but the last part of it says, now then, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. That means, all right, didn't crack it this time. I'll come back. And you know that's what he does with us. You're strong and you just like, ching, ching, ching. He's like, all right, I'll come back. That's why we can't get worn down. That's why we got to keep our eyes on the word, because you think, nah, it's fine, nah, it's fine, nah, it's fine. And then you're weak and you've been looking at stuff you shouldn't look at, and all these ideas are swirling in your head. And now he comes and presents something that you would have resisted out of hand before. And he comes, and you're like, well, yeah, so-and-so said that, and they're doing, And that thing that you would have pushed back on, you take the bait. The devil will always look for a more opportune time. That's why we need to know the word, and we need to stay up so that we're strong in it, so that when it comes, we can say, no, the word of God says this. That's our straight edge. It doesn't matter if it's true yesterday, it's true today, it'll be true tomorrow. It doesn't change with times and seasons. It doesn't change with generations. It doesn't change with popularity. It will be truth, and we'll be able to resist and stay on course. It's the foundation where we make decisions and live our life. Amen.